You are listening to Jimmy Muyaha on SAFM.
It's Digital Drive time, and we're going to be taking a look at something different for this week's Digital Drive. We're going to be looking at the telecoms space, but we're not going to be focusing on the largest telecoms players. Rather, we're going to be looking at some of the other telcos in South Africa and taking a look at perhaps what it is that they offer the market. I'm specifically referring to the likes of Telkom and Cell C. I'm joined on the line by fund manager at Anchor Capital, Mike Gresty, to take a look at this and see what to make of it. Mike, lovely having you on the show. Thanks so much for taking the time. Your thoughts on the telco space? It is arguably one of the most competitive spaces, and I know various people hold the view that perhaps we even have too many telcos in South Africa. Your thoughts on the space at the moment?
Yeah, good evening, Jimmy, and thank you for having me. I think you've summed it up well, saying, you know, how competitive it is. It's been an extremely penetrated sector for a long time, and I continue to be amazed at how, despite that, you see sort of the growth we're seeing in telecom and the changing dynamics, certainly with Cell C now regaining its mojo, I guess you could say. So it's a very interesting space, I suppose, after a period when it's been very much a two-horse race. We're seeing some quite interesting developments from the smaller players now.
Mike, let's look in on those smaller players in a bit more detail. The bigger players have decided that they've got enough of the South African market that they would like to focus their efforts on African markets. And so it leaves us really with South Africans being spoiled for choice locally. If you are in that space and you are perhaps the players 3 and 4, how do you then position your value proposition to a South African consumer that really has all the choice that they need?
Yeah, absolutely. It is certainly a consumer choice market at the moment. What has been really interesting is how Telkom and, you know, increasingly now Cell C are differentiating themselves. So, you know, in the case of Telkom, I think they've done a fantastic job, perhaps benefiting from the fact that they don't have the legacy voice business to worry about. So, you know, they really have come into the market with a data-first strategy and offered really quite simple products that the market understands and have resonated with the market. They've executed very well around their own network strategy, and perhaps we can chat to that a little bit just now. And then in the case of Cell C, I'm going to be interested to see in time how the market responds to the fact that they roam on MTN and Vodacom's network and claim, and I can't fault them on this, that really you get the best of both worlds in terms of network coverage and quality of network. And I think that's going to be quite a powerful message that they're going to be pushing with the market in the months ahead.
Mike, let's look at that strategy in a bit more detail. What does your differentiating strategy then become as a telco if you are looking to increase your market share, if you are looking to continuously grow your reach within whatever market you operate in? I mean, we've seen, as you've rightly alluded to, different strategies by Telkom and Cell C, and I think back to Telkom's decision to sell off their infrastructure assets, whereas the likes of MTN have just taken a decision to buy back infrastructure assets they used to own. What then becomes the winning strategy, if there is one, or is it more around perhaps defining what part of the market or area of the market you wish to dominate?
Yeah, I mean, each management team are fiercely promoting their particular strategy. I'm always reticent to suggest that, you know, the very asset-light model that Cell C is pushing, where, you know, they don't own any network and are essentially an MVNO roaming on both MTN and Vodacom's network, you know, extremely compelling from a returns on capital perspective. But, you know, at the end of the day, I can't get away from the fact in my own mind that if you own your own network, you have the lowest cost of production, and it's hard to get away from that. So, you know, in the case of Cell C, I think they have a very good symbiotic relationship with the mobile operators. That wholesale revenue that they pay MTN and Vodacom is incredibly important to them. You know, keep in mind that MTN and Vodacom's network has to be running full tilt all the time, even if it's not being used. So having Cell C buying capacity from you is very important in terms of their model. But how do they differentiate? I think it's a lot around, how they've then onsold to the likes of Mr. Price, Capitec, who are able to use essentially their mobile offering perhaps as an addition and, not necessarily a profit center within their own businesses. So it's interesting. They're all finding niches. But I think what I do want to stress is one has to be careful of not creating a situation in the market where there is no incentive for anybody to invest in network. That would be a situation that would really, really worry me because ultimately the consumer suffers. So, this is something that's going to need to be regulated carefully. There's a lot of competition for capital, and you made the point earlier on that MTN and Vodacom are increasingly focusing on the rest of Africa, where I think the regulators are becoming a lot more clear in their minds about the importance of making sure that there's incentive to invest in network. And that's something SA is going to need to be careful of. And I just need to stress that.
Mike, let's wrap up the conversation on that network topic, because that's been quite the contentious topic around the fact that we need to increase more of the infrastructure to increase accessibility, and conversations around the likes of Starlink and other satellite providers coming into the space have sparked quite a bit of debate. If we are looking at the infrastructure environment or the digital environment in South Africa, where do we need to be focusing from strengthening perspective if we are looking at that network? Do we need to be building more? Do we need to be allowing access to players that have got the capital spend? How do we grow that digital footprint?
So, Jimmy, what I think it requires is, quite forward thinking around areas like network sharing. It's completely suboptimal, for four players, or shall we say three players, to be overbuilding one another. So, I think it's responsible regulation around that. It's being open-minded and understanding the importance of allowing telcos to generate acceptable returns on capital. Increasingly in other markets, you're seeing price floors being put in place. I've had the sense that historically South Africa has tended to be very much the champion of the consumer, which can be a double-edged sword. So, I think it's looking at models and regulatory environments shifting and recognizing the importance of, following best in breed out there, and possibly a need to shift away from the traditional focus on competition at all costs.
The telecom space certainly is gearing up to get even more competitive than it currently already is, and hopefully that is all to the benefit of South African consumers. We're going to leave that conversation on that note. Thanks so much to fund manager at Anchor Capital, Mike Gresty, for joining us to take a look at the telecom space in South Africa.